Rochok here, and welcome to episode 242 of the Pennsylvania Project. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges that are facing contemporary Pennsylvania, and to relentlessly pursue correct solutions. But, as I always like to say, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem without running afoul of the Constitution, of course. We'll get into that. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, each episode focuses on one or more of three groups of people, either you, them, and or me. That you segment, it's all about you, your questions, your opinions, your solutions, your whatevers. And rather than a call-in format, we utilize an email-in format. So if you have something to say, you can always drop us a line at pennsylvaniaproject.com. Today for the you part, we have news about red flag laws in Pennsylvania. And after the you part comes part two, the them part. We're in an episode we like to host a guest to help showcase either political, cultural, and or environmental issues in Pennsylvania. But we had one last episode, so not this episode, sorry to say. After the non-existent them part comes the me portion of the Pennsylvania Project, where it will be my turn, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. That's where I focus on some particular issue that really sticks in my craw, pun intended. If it sticks in the craw, chuck it, right? Today, I'm going to be ranting about driving a gas-powered car after living with an electric Tesla for several months. What a difference. And throughout the show, as is our long-established custom, we'll be featuring a Pennsylvania Toastmaster. I did it again. To read and help respond to whatever comes through our mailbag and join in discussions with our guests, even though today we have no guest. It's a role that we call cohort. And today's cohort is making an incredible 36th appearance on the Pennsylvania Project. She is Donna Herb, the past secretary of the ETS Toastmasters, which was my first Toastmasters club. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project, Donna.
Thank you, Ken. It's always a pleasure to be here.
I know, and you're still smiling, too. That's always a good sign. And you brought your mom, Hildy, too.
Yes, I did.
The first woman school board member from New Jersey, from Secaucus, as I recall.
Yeah. A long time ago.
And she was our guest way back in episode 138, over 100 episodes ago. Always nice to see Hildy here.
Oh, nice to be here. And
what a nice lady.
See you.
Well, you talk about with Hildy all day long. It's just a lot of fun. Instead, why don't we get to our listener questions? And this is going to show how incompetent I am. But go for it, Donna.
Well, you don't want to give... Okay, this...
Oh, what?
...is a question.
I'm sorry, did you want to do something else?
No, no, but I mean, this question is, there's no name, there's no location.
No.
It's unknown, but it's not really anonymous,
no.
Right?
No, there's some idiot involved here.
I know, but I will give a summary of what this was supposed to be, or what it was before it disappeared.
Mysteriously vanished, along with all the slaves. Yeah.
Did you see that there's a big push to pass red flag laws in Pennsylvania? Whoever said it,
yeah.
From wherever.
Let me apologize to whoever it was who sent in the question, because somehow I deleted your email and I could not find the actual text. I looked and I looked and I looked and I couldn't find it. All I remember is it's a guy and he's a member of the Students for Liberty, and he was complaining about that push for red flag laws in Pennsylvania. But, delete it or not, that was more than enough information to go on. So, here we go. For those of you who don't know, let's start by defining red flag laws. It's actually on Wikipedia, so you know it's real. Wikipedia says a red flag law is, quote, something that permits a state court to order the temporary removal of firearms from a person who they believe may present a danger to others or to themselves. A judge makes a determination to issue an order based on statements and actions made by the gun owner in question. Unquote. Well, we do not have any red flag laws here in Pennsylvania. They've tried a couple times, but they never seem to get anywhere. But they're big in Pennsylvania news these days. Our lieutenant governor had a big press conference about one saying we ought to do it. But generally speaking, the push for the red flag laws, it's a knee-jerk reaction by politicians who are reacting to some mass shooting that's big in the news or something outside Pennsylvania. Well, personally, right off the bat, I see two major problems with red flag laws. First problem is that the person who has their guns taken away, that person has not been convicted of any crime, yet they're being punished. These red flag laws are an end run around our right to be presumed innocent. Instead, they presume you're guilty without a trial, and they go right ahead and take away your right to self-defense, and that's just plain wrong. My opinion. Now, imagine if they use this technique for other non-crimes. Maybe they do house-to-house searches looking for possible illegal activity, even though there's no evidence of it. I'll bet they would find some illegal activity, though. So many things are illegal. Maybe they just audit every single tax return looking for tax cheats, even though there's never been any evidence of a tax cheat. I bet they'd find some there, too. Or maybe stopping every car looking for drunk drivers. Oh, wait, they're already doing that, aren't they? Even though it's blatantly unconstitutional and uneconomical to boot. I tell you, these red flag laws are just another example of how we lose our freedoms little by little. Donna, am I being overdramatic here or what? Are these red flag laws a real threat?
Well, actually, Ken, I think that there was one statement, and maybe I misheard what you said, but you said that, did you say?
Yes.
That the Wikipedia version of that said that the judge uses a statement by the gun owner themselves?
A judge makes the determination to issue the order based upon statements and actions made by the gun owner in question.
Which is ridiculous, because that's not the person that you should be asking about. It's other people. Like, is he threatening people? Has he gone off and, like, started, like, you know, shooting at people or things like that, you know? It's like, no crime is committed. Well, if there's somebody who has made, like, threatening comments or has been, like, brandishing their firearm around or something. But the question is, like, what is it that actually becomes a crime? You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, domestic abuse.
And you know what? You're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And think of it this way. What about the case where you have some kind of domestic dispute, right? Not necessarily abuse. Let's say they're going back and forth. When all of a sudden one of them wants to use the power of government to get back at their spouse. All they have to do is manufacture a story and convince a judge, not a jury, a judge alone, and that somehow there's a danger here, whatever it may be. What recourse would that spouse have?
But you see, this is where I think you need to have more than just, like, when it was, like, just by the gun owner themselves, that's not sufficient.
Not by the spouse themselves either. Not one person.
Exactly. I think you need multiple people to
commit. I agree. And not just that, but you need the process. Now, yes, if a person is an idiot with their gun, by all means, as part of their sentence, they can have access to firearms restricted. But what if there's no crime committed? What if there's no conviction, no sentencing, no jury, no conviction of the jury or their peers? Then you're playing a joker's wild at that point, because your right to bear arms is just being tossed out the window without any due process, without any good reason. And does that seem like a more reasonable solution? Maybe we should prosecute a real crime and make it part of their sentence?
Well, I think what you're trying to do is a preventative thing, and that's the problem. The preventative stuff is always more difficult. So I think, you know, I think the operative word here is temporarily remove. What is the duration?
Sure.
What is the length of time for, quote unquote, temporarily?
He's still a threat to me. He can't give him back his
and
guns.
Wait, if we add on the fact that it's not just, well, we're going to just temporarily take it away and then they don't do anything else about it, or that's just to be by the person or the spouse or some arbitrary person. That guy is making, like, accusations that have been really crazy and whatever. You know, you need some kid keeps saying he's going to bring his father's gun in and, like, shoot the school down, you know?
Look at all those times. That person should be, they should be arrested. They should go to trial and we find out if it's true. They shouldn't have some judge say, well, you know, I'm going to take away your guns for a while. Because it's bad enough when they want to take away your right to self-defense, even though you've done nothing wrong, right? Because the second major problem I have with these red flag laws, which makes it even worse, is that they're blatantly unconstitutional. Donna, you've been here a million times. You know that Article 1, Section 21 of the Pennsylvania Constitution says, don't shake your head at me like that, girl. It says, the right of the citizens to bear arms in defense of themselves and the state shall not be questioned. I have no question what that means. Now that Section 25 in Article 1 says all of Article 1 is, quote, removed from the general powers of government and shall forever remain inviolate. You know, forever remain inviolate? Do the backers of the red flag laws believe that forever has come today? Wasn't that a what's her name? Diana Ross song? Yep. My Forever Came Today?
I don't know.
You're not as old as I am. You're not as old as I am. Sorry, I digress. So what do you think? Is Article 1, Section 21 clear enough? Can you really propose a law that violates the Constitution?
So then my question comes to you, Ken, is if you actually do have someone who is truly becoming unhinged and...
Have them arrested. If they did something wrong?
They didn't do anything wrong yet.
So you're going to arrest somebody who didn't do anything wrong?
So that's my point. Can you temporarily
take away their rights? No.
Yes.
No. You know,
yes, because you can be arrested, falsely arrested, and your rights are taken, or you're incarcerated, but saying, you just arrested me and I didn't do it.
Yeah. Okay. Then we're agreeing here. So then what you do is you go to court and you have a jury and you have prosecution, you have a defense. Do the whole nine yards.
Okay. I don't know if you need a whole jury and whatever, but you need more proof than just one person. I will grant you that.
Yeah. So I think we're agreeing here.
To some degree we're agreeing, but I think it's the devil's in the details. Because it's like, you know, if you have someone who is clearly I'm talking about the real cases. I'm not talking about the spouse who's trying to get even with somebody because he's mad. I'm talking about a real thing.
No, if you violate the rights of one, you violate the rights of all. Ben Franklin said that. He was right then. It's true today.
But my question is like, what can we put in place? So maybe the temporarily becomes a window, a defined window. You know, we're going to take this away from you for whatever the window is. And then we need proof. More than just one person.
I agree. That's called the legal system.
Yes.
That's what we need.
And that's a problem, too, because you know how long it takes. Look, people can't even get a fair trial in a reasonable amount of time. And that's supposed to be a constitutional right as well.
You know, I had an old episode going through all the ways that the Constitution is being violated. Matter of fact, if you go to our website and take a look at our education petition, it's got 17 ways that the Constitution is currently being violated. And Article 1, Section 21 about guns is one of them. I don't know. We're all about solutions here at the Pennsylvania Project. And my heart goes out to the victims of these shootings or victims of any kind. But when your solution is to take away any of our constitutionally secured rights, that's not just saddening, that's terrifying. That's why we have a constitution rather than just a democracy. Because a democracy, if you don't have a constitution, it's nothing better than two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for lunch. And that is bad, no matter how hungry the public may be. Any final thoughts?
The only other thing I was thinking was because it is a serious issue and there are crazies out there.
Yes.
Maybe you can have the red flag law, but you have to have a certain number of people corroborating. The fact that, you know, this person really needs to have his gun.
I know. And there's already a process set up for that. It's called the legal system.
Okay.
That's the way to do it.
Well, there you go.
Well, on that sheepish note, that's gonna wrap it up for the U portion of episode 242 of the Pennsylvania Project. My apologies again to the student for Liberty who sent that in. We're going to pause for this information. And when we return, I'm going to be ranting about driving a gas-powered car after living with an electric Tesla for many, many months.
Here's an interesting question. Everyone's heard of the United States Constitution, but have you ever heard of the Pennsylvania Constitution? Have you ever read it? But most importantly, was it ever taught to you in school? If you're like virtually all Pennsylvanians, the answers are likely to be no, no, and no. Well, it's long past time we changed those answers to yes, yes, and yes. We here at the Pennsylvania Project are all about solutions, so we've authored a petition demanding that the Pennsylvania Constitution be taught to our children. If you believe it's important for our children to know how our state government works, head over to our website, PennsylvaniaProject.com and add your name to the growing list of signers. The alternative is yet another generation that has never heard of, let alone read, the Pennsylvania Constitution. And people wonder why no one votes anymore.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, caster on the Pennsylvania Project. You know, it's easy to find a high-paying job. At least for some people it is. Employers are begging for competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. But do those words describe you? Competent leader communicates effectively? If not, or even if they do, you may want to consider joining Toastmasters. The mission of Toastmasters is to provide a supportive experience for learning communication and leadership skills. But does it really work? Hey, look at me. I joined Toastmasters and now I've got my own radio show. So turn your life around like I have. Visit Toastmasters.org and contact a club near you. Visitors are always welcome, and be sure to mention that you heard it on the Pennsylvania Project radio show. The future is anxiously awaiting competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. You can be that leader. It all starts at Toastmasters.org.
The following is a commercial announcement.
Hey, Donna, I was going to say Yvonne. How's it going?
I don't know who Yvonne is, but yeah, it could be better.
Why? What's the matter?
I just found a great job, but I can't take it.
Why not?
They want me to go to it as a 1099 contractor.
So?
So what about all the taxes? Federal taxes, state taxes, this tax, that tax. I have better things to do than figuring out all the tax laws and filling out all those forms. I'm a libertarian, remember?
Well, what you need then is Amendment 16.
Hey, it's the damn 16th Amendment that got me into this predicament in the first place.
Oh, no, Amendment 16, the invoicing service. They'll invoice your client for the hours and expenses you report to them. And when your client pays them, they pay you, minus all required state and federal taxes. It is that easy.
And they take care of all the taxes, all the forms?
Yep, one call does it all. And they can pass along certain tax breaks, too.
Sounds perfect. Where do I find them?
On the web, of course, at amendment16.com, with 16 spelled out. That's amendment, SIXTEEN.com. One call does it all. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to the me portion of episode 242 of the Pennsylvania Project, where I get to rant a bit about something that really sticks in my craw. Today, I will be ranting about my horrible experience driving a gas-powered car after spending 4 months driving only a Tesla electric car. First, let me give you some brief background. About 6 months ago, a young lady did us the favor of totaling our 2004 Highlander. I ranted about all the details back in episode 221, if you're interested. But the key point then is that we replaced that Highlander with a brand new Tesla Model Y SUV. In case you haven't driven in a Tesla, let me clue you in. It's nothing like anything you've ever driven before. And again, if you're interested, I went into all the details about what's different about it back in episode 222. And one last bit of background. For the last 4 months, I've been driving the Tesla exclusively, and not just for local driving. In July, the wife and I went on a two-week camping trip covering over 1,000 miles across 5 states. Then in September, early October, I went out on my second statewide tour across Pennsylvania in support of my 2026 bid for governor of Pennsylvania. And that was over 1,000 miles, too. And, of course, then there were all those less dramatic trips here and there someplace else. All right, enough background. What triggered today's rant is that last weekend, the wife and I drove up the Poconos, about 100 miles each way, but we did not take the Tesla. Instead, I drove her 2001 Chevy Lumina, a nice peppy 6-cylinder gas-powered jobby with well over 100,000 miles on it. Well, to put it mildly, the experience was, let's call it, less than pleasant. In fact, some of the annoyances were minor, and some others were downright dangerous. So, as a public service for those of you who still drive a dirty energy gas-powered car, I thought I'd take a moment to warn you of the hazards of that the dirty energy car you may not be aware of. You ready? Here goes. The first annoying thing is I always had to fumble for my keys to actually turn the engine on. With the Tesla, the car is always on, always ready to go. All you got to do is pick one of two directions, either forward or backward, step on the gas, and you're rolling. Well, with the Lumina, I had a choice of six directions, two of which would not get you rolling, one of which would go backward, and no fewer than three choices if you wanted to go forward. Well, decisions, decisions, decisions. And what happens when you do step on the gas of that dirty energy car? The car thinks about it for maybe a half a second or a second or so, and then decides it's going to mosey along, eventually reaching the desired speed. But with the Tesla, if you floor that gas, it goes, and I mean goes, instantly. It blasts forward with all the alacrity of a motorcycle, despite the car weighing in at more than 2 tons. And it pushes you back in your seat with more force than a commercial jetliner taking off. I tell you, man, many are the times that I've used that acceleration to pass some slowpoke on some back road or to blast past some idiot with too much testosterone in his system. Guilty. I can't tell you how many beers have been sloshed into my lap from doing that maneuver. But the acceleration on a dirty energy car, I'll tell you, it's approved by beer drinkers everywhere. Not to mention disapproved by those testosterone-addicted drivers of dirty energy cars. And what happens when that dirty energy car finally does accelerate? It's jerky. Every 10 or 20 miles per hour increase, it jerks as it changes gears. Well, the Tesla has no gears, no transmission, so the acceleration is as smooth as silk. That sure makes the beer happy, I'll tell you. The time that you notice that jerk issue the most is when you're up there in the Poconos climbing all those mountains. You notice it when suddenly that dirty energy car decides to shift into one or another of those three forward motion gears. And worse yet, on some hills, that dirty energy car shifts back and forth and back and forth between this gear and that gear, jerking all the way. It's like, wah, oh, please, cut me a break. And speaking of dirty energy, that dirty energy car smells. It smells like gas, like old oil, like exhaust fumes, especially older cars like our Lumina. But the Tesla, nothing. No smell at all. Just that new car smell, which, for the record, I don't like, but I digress. And speaking of dirty energy and smells, we actually had to stop the Lumina and get gas. Yep, we had to expose ourselves to cancer-causing vapors for maybe 5-10 minutes. And worse yet, when I got back in the car, my hand smells like gas. Oh, it sure gets in the way of enjoying that beer, I tell you. And by the way, our Tesla has a range of well over 300 miles to a charge. So on a Pocono trip, we didn't have to stop at all. Wouldn't have to stop at all, but not true with the Lumina. But again, I digress. Excuse me. And speaking of smelling like oil, at one point on our Pocono trip, the change oil light came on. And all I could do is laugh. The Tesla doesn't have any oil, so there's nothing to change. We've had our Tesla now for over 6,000 miles, so I've already avoided 2 oil changes. And for the record, the only maintenance I've had to do so far is to add windshield washer fluid. And that's it. There's no oil to change, no transmission fluid, no power steering fluid, no transaxle oil, no PCV valve, no pollution control crap, no anything that you're forced to swallow or breathe in whenever you're driving a dirty energy car. Oh, and it's not just the smells associated with that dirty energy car that are so annoying. There's also the sounds, or should I say the absence of sounds? With the Tesla, the car is absolutely silent as it travels, only showing some white noise when traveling at higher speeds as the wind rushes past. But with that dirty energy car, especially diesels, the noise they make is immense. I remember the first time I drove our Tesla out of our driveway, and my wife said, What's that crunchy sound? I said, it's the tires rolling over pine needles. Truth. I tell you, driving the dirty energy car to the Poconos was also a bit tiring. All the time, I had to move my foot, move it from this pedal to that pedal, from that pedal back to this pedal, back and forth and back, all the time, shifting from the gas to the brake, brake to the gas to the brake, on and on and on. But with the Tesla, if you take your foot off the gas, the car immediately starts to slow down. Because of what they call regenerative braking. It actually recharges your battery. It is a fact that driving a Tesla is generally a one-pedal experience. You hardly ever need to step on the brake, which of course is another maintenance issue that you never need to perform. According to common knowledge, brake pads last over 100,000 miles. And I have mentioned safety issues with the dirty energy cars. If you take your foot off the gas, the dirty car will keep right on going, and at crazy high speeds, too. With the Tesla, it has that regenerative braking that kicks in. That means if you do need to stop in a hurry, you lift your foot off the gas and the Tesla is already stopping before your foot hits the brakes. It's the safest car that the government has ever tested. So there are a lot of reasons to drive, a lot of reasons why driving a Tesla is far superior to driving that dirty energy car. But the biggest and best reason, and the Tesla feature that I missed the most when I was driving that Lumina, is that the Tesla drives itself. But with the Lumina, oh no, I had to watch the road, watch the signs, watch the speed limits, watch other drivers, watch all the time. But with the Tesla, I just tell it where I want to be, and the car takes me there. It stops for the stop signs, passes slower cars, uses the direction signals as necessary, avoids pedestrians, cyclists, trucks, and other obstacles, and it keeps up with that ever-changing speed limit, and it does all of that all by itself. Bottom line here is that over the last 4 months, I've put over 6,000 miles on that Tesla, and I've estimated for more than half of those thousands of miles, the car drove itself. I'll tell you, there's lots more I could say about why a Tesla is far superior to a dirty energy car. Things like saving the environment. Things like a fill-up costing less than 10 bucks. Things like driving the safest car ever tested by the government. But let me sum it all up with one sentence. I will never buy another dirty energy car. On that arrogant note, that's going to wrap it up for episode 242 of the Pennsylvania Project. What do you think about dirty energy cars? Or red flag laws, or teaching the Pennsylvania Constitution to our kids, or anything somewhat Pennsylvania related. If you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com right after you sign our education petition, of course. And you can hear us there too, as well as on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and a plethora of other popular podcast providers. Today's episode is courtesy of Amendment 16 Limited and produced live in the studios of WWDB Radio, broadcasting in Philadelphia at 860 on the AM dial every Monday at 4 p.m., among other times, and among other stations. Our webmaster, Stephen Worley. Featured Toastmaster cohort is Donna Herb. Official bartender, Tom Kehoe. Keyboard wizard, Joe the Pag. Radio producer, Sam Whalen. And me, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, hopefully solving it cleanly and without violating the Pennsylvania Constitution.